Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit CropMetcalf.com and you can join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Johnny Cake Sawville. Joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline, bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's our pal John Keim. He covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. So, John, I think you told us you're closing in on almost 30 training camps, and you can only see so much in training camp, and you can only see so much in a preseason game. Well, let's start with Wentz. The whole rap during all of the training camps was inconsistent. He actually looked pretty good, pretty comfortable. What'd you think?
Yeah, I agree. And I would say, like, for me in the camp, what I would always say is the passing game looks inconsistent because it's more than just the quarterback. You have receivers that receivers that you're getting used to, and receivers sometimes that are running routes at different depths. You have to learn, how does this guy come out of this break? Sometimes there are some routes, McLaurin would even say it, that he's like, comes out of this route too fast, which the quarterback has to get used to, and they haven't worked together a lot. You have Curtis Samuel in and out. None of your starting tight ends are there. You're starting centered out. So there's going to be a natural progression to begin with, and then you throw those factors onto it, and it's like, well, yeah. And then with Wentz, sometimes, again, sometimes it's getting used to receivers. Sometimes it's, you know, pocket is starting to tighten up and your base gets too wide and you're overthrowing guys, right? So there's definitely some on the mechanics, because that's kind of who he's been throughout his career. But I never thought like that, oh my gosh, this is going to be horrible, because you just knew it was like, this is a progress. And what, you know, when I talk to people over there, nobody seemed like, I mean, they would almost be like a little bit surprised. Well, let me say this. One coach is like, the perception out here is wildly different than it is indoors in the facility with that. So I'm not, so having said all that, I'm not surprised that it looked the way it did on Saturday, you know? And I certainly feel like he looks more comfortable, and I even tweet this, like, looks more comfortable already than at any point Ryan Fitzpatrick did last year. And not necessarily, and that's just a point about a new guy coming into a system.
Right.
And I think he looks more comfortable. Even in practice, I felt he looked more comfortable in the offense. It was just a matter of things have to start clicking a little bit more as they progress.
I just tell you that, you know, I said all off season, look, I don't think he's some Hall of Famer or anything. I don't even think he's going to necessarily have be like a top 10 guy at this point in his career. Who knows? No. But he started 85 games in his career. People acted like he's a complete buffoon. He's had tremendous success. He's also had some down seasons, no question about it. But people act like we just acquired this complete incompetent. And it seriously, it's irritated me the entire offseason.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is why I always say he's got a track record.
Yeah.
And the track record, while, again, there are definitely times where, and sometimes that inaccuracy is in the form of, like, it's third, like, you'd see this on film too. Third down and six, you throw a pass where you got to lead the guy into the first down on some sort of a crosser, and you're hitting the wrong shoulder, so he's got to stop and turn. Well, he catches the ball, it's a completion, but it's only, instead of 6 yards in a first down, it's 5 yards in the fourth down. that sometimes is that when you talk about accuracy with quarterbacks, and you saw that with him, but you also saw there are definitely plays that this guy can make that others can't because of that arm. And with that arm, you can make sometimes those throws where you don't have to get your feet around because you've got the arm strength to get it there. That can sometimes lead to some bad throws too, but it's, you know, it also leads to some throws that others just can't make. So yeah, he's got a track record, and you know, whether or not he's you're right. Like, he may not be a top 10 guy. He's a legitimate starting quarterback in the NFL.
Exactly.
And so I don't, you know, and I think some, you know, is he going to be a different guy than he was in Indy or Philly? I don't know. I know factors in both places. Are they going to be different here? Well, let's see how, I mean, we'll find out as the season progresses, because when you hit that adversity in a season, that's when you find out where a guy is really at. So that's when we'll know more. But he does have a track record, and you're right. I mean, it's this guy, he's a legitimate starting quarterback in the NFL. He is an upgrade. He is an upgrade over not just last year, but over the last several years for sure.
John, we saw Curtis Samuel on the field. What I was curious, maybe you paid more attention than I did because I didn't really notice, how was he lined up in relation to Jahan Dotson and Terry McLaurin? Was Dotson more of an inside guy? Like, what did we see?
Yeah, Dotson more inside. There were a couple times that he was outside. Samuel was in motion constantly, constantly sending him in motion. And, you know, whether it's, you know, before the snap, after what, or, you know, so he was constantly in motion. That's one thing that you notice. And sometimes it was take two steps in line, you're realigning, right? But it was constantly in motion, whether that's to, you know, to provide a better tell for the quarterback, you know, what the defense are in. I also think for him, because of his versatility, it gets you to think, where's he going now? Because you know he can line up in multiple different spots, run routes from different spots, et cetera. So that was one thing that jumped out with him. And then, you know, what I like to see is when they're in practice, they align all three on one side. Mm-hmm. And because that's when you start to wonder what's it going to look like after the snap. And I, you know, Samuel is usually more of an underneath guy, but it still gives you some options and it still allows you to use that speed on one side. But yeah, so he was in motion a lot.
John, you tweeted about two of the tight ends at @John_Keim on Twitter, Armani Rogers and Curtis Hodges. Those guys are busy, 10 targets between the two of them, and with the injuries hitting this tight end room, those are guys that Carson may have to lean on early in the season, with Logan Thomas trying to come back from his injury, Cole Turner still nursing that hamstring. I'm guessing that's relatively minor, but good to see those guys get involved.
It is, and they've been, even before camp, I knew that these guys had a shot, both of them, because they both do some things well. Rodgers was a quarterback in college, so he's got this transition that he has to make. And there's still, like, you know, Ron Rivera talked about this last week. Obviously, the details of the position right now, he's still learning. And, like, where, how to run certain routes, where to run certain routes. Just because a guy caught the ball doesn't always mean he ran the right route or ran it the right way. But the kid is very fluid, and he moves. Like, there was one point earlier in the offseason where I heard, like, they may even try him as a big receiver because he just moves that well. And he does move like that, but he can be a mismatch as a tight end. And Hodges has looked pretty good as well. You know, very, again, fluid guy. The question will be with the blocking and how do they handle those roles. I think, like, with I think they've both gotten better. I think with Rodgers, sometimes there's a strength thing that you know, and sometimes that can be mitigated by where you know, are you at least slowing the guy, getting your feet around, getting your hands in the right place. It starts with that. But there are a couple times in practice where you saw, like, oh, okay, just got overpowered there. But he seems like he's improving. And with Hodges, good blocker on the move. Some of the, you know, tight end coming behind the formation, taking out the D end or the backside linebacker, whatever. He did a nice job with that Saturday. Where he has to work on probably is more inline blocking. And that's, again, something that a lot of these guys probably haven't done in college. Same with Cole Turner. And so that's part of the adjustment as well, because if you want to run the ball, those guys have to block at a certain level. That will be something that can get them on the field sooner. So, yeah, I think one of those guys will be a guy that will have to provide some help early just because, you know, Logan Thomas is still not working, you know, practicing, and we're not seeing a ton from him. So I don't know when he's going to be back. But if he has to miss a few games, one of those guys are going to have to play and contribute.
All right, John, let's talk about the defense. We had Ron on a couple weeks ago, and I said right to his face, I said, I don't understand the defensive sort of plan in the offseason because – we're basically bringing back the same guys, minus a pretty impactful player in Landon Collins when they finally found his role. You know, they drafted some young guys, but we still have the same D coordinator. I don't want to make too much of the preseason. It's just kind of vanilla. It is what it is. But we've been carved up routinely here the last few years, and I didn't see a lot. I mean, miscommunication's been an issue, so maybe that'll be better because this group has been together. But explain to me why this defense is going to be markedly better other than we're playing against worse teams.
They're playing against worse teams.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not to be sarcastic, but that is part of the equation. Like last year, I thought, you know, I thought they'd take a step back, especially statistically, mm-hmm. because of who the quarterbacks they were facing. That's part of what builds stats for teams. You know, the Eagles defense finished very strong last year, and then you look at the quarterbacks they played, and like, okay, yeah, you probably should have, you know. And so mm-hmm. I look at last year, but having said that, I did not anticipate falling off a cliff, and that's what they did. You know, they weren't playing well. It wasn't like they were playing well and getting beat. It was they're playing good quarterbacks and they're not playing well. Mm-hmm. So like that was a bad combination. And there was a stretch during the season, like an 8-game stretch, where they did start to play well, where they're for this one 8-game stretch, they were around the top 10 in yards, points, et cetera. So much of that comes back to third down. And that was the troubling thing the other night or the other day, is the lack of success on third down. And you can look at some of these and say, okay, coverage here, and maybe if this guy is in, that doesn't happen. But like one of them was Danny Johnson. Well, he was a solid slot corner for them as a backup last year, so you have to expect that he can make this play or, you know, make this stop. Another time there looked like there was a botched coverage where, you know, with Cam Curl and Cole Holcomb, I don't know who was at fault on it, but they played it differently and the guy gets open for a 19-yard gain. So there were things like that. And some of that stuff you can go clean up now. And I do think the communication in the secondary has been much better mm-hmm. throughout camp. How will that manifest itself in games, though? And that's the hard part is with camp, going back to that, is when you're facing the same offense, the same defense for several weeks, it can provide misleading clues sometimes. And like, so you want to see them in those games and see what do you need to clean up? And we've seen that third down. And I think the other key, how they can get better, is that defensive line has to commit itself to playing a certain way this year, not playing as individuals, playing as a group consistently, you know? And so that's, you know, I think some of the improvement, if you want to see that, is going to have to come from Jamin Davis looking like the 19th overall pick in the draft, from Cole Holcomb taking another step as a linebacker, you know, from that communication, the secondary being together. I worry about the secondary depth still. You know, you have to hope that Chase Young comes back and is very productive. That's where that comes from. But we don't know when he's coming back. So, like, there are ways internally that they can improve, but they have to do it because you're right. They didn't make any big, huge moves other than drafting Mathis in the second round.
Talking to John Keim, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. Is Antonio Gibson one fumble away from Ron Rivera and this coaching staff moving him to number two on the depth chart?
Good question. And I don't know that it's one fumble away. I will say when the coach in the post-game press conference says, I want you guys to write that because I want him to, or ask him about this because he wants him to know, you know, that you're sending a message. And part of that, it's not just the fumbles too. It's the reason for the fumbles, right? Because like, you know, back in the day, was it, you know, Tiki Barber, the way he held the ball, it wasn't mm-hmm. about running style. With Gibson for Rivera, it's about running style. This has been something that they've harped on with him for at least a year, which is, and the problem that he had with the fumble wasn't just the fumble itself, it's why did he fumble? Because he kind of hesitated going to the hole, wasn't sure which way to go, and he wants him to plant and go. Because he said when he starts to do that, like a little bit, not so much stutter stepping, but a little indecisiveness, the arm starts getting loose, the ball gets looser from the body. And then he plants and goes, but the ball is a little bit more looser than when he just plant. When you just plant and go, he said he's just a much better runner, more protective of the ball. He gets himself in trouble when he does something else. And that's what they're trying to cure, is because they feel like you get that right, then the fumbling lessens as well. But it's funny because he did not have that issue as a rookie. He didn't have a fumbling
right.
issue. It was that first 9 or 10 games last year. And then it's, you know, in practice there were a couple drops, but we don't know, was that an exchange or was that on him? Because it's, unless you're watching the practice film, it can be hard to sometimes, you know, discern. But it was troubling the other day to see that. You just, it's not what they want to see. And the fact that Brian Robinson looked solid. And there are things that he can do better. He's not as explosive, but, you know, he certainly took care of the ball, and he did look good on a few runs.
He's powerful.
And he doesn't hesitate. Yeah. Like he's
a natural back.
Yeah.
He's got natural running instincts. What I really like about him, and I love this about him in college too, he's not a dynamic runner. So he's not going to get you. I don't think he's going to be ripping off these huge runs all the time. But like even that 11-yard run that he had, is press the hole, get a yard behind the guys, plant, cut. So you're setting up your blockers, you're setting up the defenders, and I feel like he does that well. And I think that to me is probably his strength. As much as the power he runs with, I think it's setting up how he sets up blockers and then sets up defenders and gets them to commit and cuts back. That's what he does well. And then the power comes over, and he's always got that forward lean. When Alfred Morris was a rookie, not comparing the two, but I mean, Morris was much lower drafted. The thing that always jumped out with him was the forward lean. Even mm-hmm. in practice, you could see that when they're not doing contact stuff. And I think Robinson has some of that as well, where he's always leaning forward. So he always seemed to get yards after contact.
All right, John, we are 27 days. I just checked. 27 days away from the opener. So great to finally see them on the field. Great to talk to you this Monday morning. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. All right. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, John.
27 days, EB.
I can't wait. Can't wait.
And totally just a couple days before that, Chunky's Poker Open.
That's right.
I have to tell you, I was thoroughly, and I was totally anticipating being disappointed and being blah about that, you know, first preseason game, because mm-hmm. it's always a big letdown. I was thoroughly entertained. I thought, you know, the offense finally, you know, scored some points there, which is good. Get them out of there. And then I was thoroughly entertained by Heinicke before the pick. And then Hal. Who didn't love watching
sure.
Hal do his thing?
Of course.
I mean, I thought it was a great preseason game.
You had a late push for a win. They yeah. ultimately didn't win.
Nah, I'm curious about that. You know, the team that cares about preseason wins, they wear purple and black and play
right.
in Baltimore. It's the only one that cares.
All right, let's open up the phone lines. Are you like EB? Were you pleased with what you saw? Or do you have concerns? You have to, about Antonio Gibson. 800-636-1067. What's your takeaway after preseason game number one with your Washington Commanders?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.